Chapter 1. Someone else got to the apothecary first. Edison Stokes crouched beside him in the gloom of the dark little shop. He glanced at the hilt of the blade that was sunk deep in the old man's chest. Removing the knife would only hasten the inevitable. "Who did this?" Edison gripped the gnarled hand. "Tell me, Jonas. I swear he will pay." "The herbs." Blood burbled from the apothecary's mouth. "He purchased the special herbs. Loring instructed me to send word if anyone sought to..."
"Loring got your message. That's why I'm here."
Edison leaned closer.
"Who bought the herbs?"
"Don't know. Sent servant for them."
"Can you tell me anything that will help me find the man who did this to you?"
"Servant said..."
Jonas broke off as more blood filled his mouth.
"What did the servant say, Jonas?"
"Had to have herbs immediately. Something about leaving town to attend a house party."
Edison felt the apothecary's hand grow lax.
"Who is giving the house party, Jonas? Where is it to be held?"
Jonas closed his eyes. For a few seconds, Edison thought there would be no more information. But the apothecary's blood-stained lips moved one last time.
"Ware Castle."
Chapter 2. The bastard was here at Ware Castle. Damn the man! Emma Grayson clenched one gloved hand into a fist on the balcony railing. Of all the thoroughly rotten luck! Then again, it was all of a piece, she thought. Her luck had been rotten for some time now, culminating in complete financial disaster 2 months ago. Nevertheless, discovering that she would have to spend the next week trying to avoid Chilton Crane was really too much. She drummed her fingers on the ancient stone. She should not have been so startled to see Crane arrive that afternoon. After all, the polite world was a relatively small one. There was nothing odd about the bastard being among the many guests who had been invited to the large house party. She could not afford to lose this post, Emma thought. Crane might not remember her, but the only sensible thing to do was to stay out of his path for the duration of the house party. With so many people about, it should be a simple matter to disappear into the woodwork, she assured herself. Few took any notice of paid companions. A slight whisper of movement in the darkness below the balcony jerked her out of her glum reverie. She frowned and peered more closely into the deep shadows cast by a high hedge. One of the shadows shifted. It moved out of the darkness and glided across a moonlit patch of lawn. She leaned forward and caught a glimpse of the figure, who moved like a ghost through the silver light. Tall, lean, dark-haired, dressed entirely in black clothing. She did not need the brief glint of moonlight on his austere, ascetic cheekbones to recognize the man below. Edison Stokes. By chance, she had been returning from a walk yesterday afternoon when he arrived at the castle. She'd seen him drive his gleaming phaeton into the courtyard. The sleek carriage had been drawn by perfectly matched, well-trained bays. The huge creatures had responded to Stokes' hands on the ribbons with calm precision. Their willing obedience indicated that their master relied on technique and skill rather than whips and savage bits for control. Later, Emma had noticed that the other guests watched Stokes with sidelong glances whenever he was in the room. She knew their ferret-like interest meant that he was very likely both extremely wealthy and extremely powerful. Quite possibly extremely dangerous. All of which made him extremely fascinating in the minds of the bored and thoroughly jaded elite. The shadows shifted again. Emma leaned a little farther out over the balcony. She saw that Stokes had one leg over the sill of an open window. How very odd. He was, after all, a guest in the castle. There was no need for him to skulk about this way. There was only one reason why Stokes would choose such a clandestine.